Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. State Representative Ray Felder is with us today, and there's just been a few things going on around town, down in Columbia, you know, wherever this lady hangs out. And we're going to get ourselves updated on all of that today on our Straight Talk broadcast. So how do you enjoy the wonderful 100-degree weather we're going to be getting?
I know, I'll tell you. And all of a sudden, I would really enjoy a little rain on my side of the river. It has gone all the way around me. Friends in Rock Hill have gotten rain 3 and 4 times this week.
Oh, we have.
And we've got zero.
No kidding.
On Dewey's Bridge Road.
Isn't that something?
It has split and gone around us every time.
And with all the development on Dobie's Ridge Road, when it rains a lot, what happens?
Oh, I know.
Does the rain goes everywhere?
Yes. Huh? And you know, not only does the rain, but the traffic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, thank goodness that we had the foresight, even though it is a two-lane road.
Needs to be four-lane tomorrow.
Yes. But at least I am amazed at how much that has helped.
Okay, so where do we start? The governor was just on the air. We carried it on WRHI. In another effort that he is making to try to slow down the growth of infections from this virus, he has told all the bars and restaurants that serve alcoholic beverages that effective this Saturday, you cannot serve after 11 o'clock. That is it. You cannot serve after 11 o'clock. A lot of this is, apparently a lot of this growth, this recent spurt, is coming from
the younger generation,
which is out there partying and like there's no tomorrow. And they just, and I got it. When I was a teenager, we all thought we were invincible.
Well, you do think you're invincible. And in so many ways, many of them are.
Yeah.
But it's when they bring it home and they, grandparents and compromised immune systems. So the governor is making every attempt to remind people that face masks do help slow this down. He's encouraged everyone locally. Our municipalities have done a really good job in trying to encourage that. Again, the enforceability, I don't really think, is there. We've got so much going on, but at least it's bringing it, making people aware.
And it appears that York County is going to do the same thing at their meeting on the 20th. They're trying to figure out what's the best route, but they're going to do something, whatever it is. You know, we have these beautiful beaches, and this is when everybody flocks to the beach.
Yes.
4th of July. Yeah, it was a zoo, absolutely a zoo. And I'm sure those numbers, you know, in 2 weeks we're going to see another surge as a result of all of that. You know, I hate this thing called a mask as much as anybody does. But we all got to do our part, that washing hands and staying 6 feet apart.
Exactly. I mean, do your part for the other person. Be considerate. That's important.
All right. So part and parcel of this is a sizable windfall to the state of South Carolina and to all the other states across the country through this CARES Act that Congress passed. And the state of South Carolina got $1.9 billion.
Yeah, with a B, it's hard for me to grasp. Billion.
So you all sashayed down to Columbia here a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
And basically allocated most of that money.
Well, we did withhold $668 million that we will talk about again in September when we go back. But we did allocate or make available for reimbursement of actual expenses, about $1.2 billion. Big chunk of that, of course, is the unemployment trust fund. As we all know, a lot of people were forced to draw unemployment because businesses had to shut down. So $500 million goes directly into that.
Was that enough?
No, I don't believe so. I believe once the numbers and BEA comes back and gives us more numbers, that part of that $668 million, we're probably going to have to put more back into the unemployment trust fund. But it's such an ongoing, fluid situation now. But K-12 education got a big chunk, $222 million there, to try to assist with some academic recovery camps this summer, to try to, these children that have been out of school now, they missed 2 months of instruction, to try to help catch them up, have summer camps. We do have statewide about 47 of those that are actually up and running. So we're hoping that those children will have an opportunity. We also spent about $12 million reimbursing districts for meals that they provided and lunchroom workers that provided those meals during those 2 months. And we also are looking at $160 million was set aside to reimburse districts if they choose to add the 5 additional days to the school calendar to try to bring these kids in a little early, assess them, get them caught up, teach them some new protocols to maintain as much social distancing as possible.
And therein lies the biggest question that the community wants an answer to. And so far, I think we've only heard from the Clover School District about...
And Fort Mill.
Fort Mill's come out?
Yeah. Okay. I listened to Clover last night. Fort Mill came out about a week ago. Both of them are pretty much looking at the hybrid model,
right,
where you can either go in person, face-to-face, or you can do an e-learning, online, virtual type structure.
Yeah, and now I heard about the Clover plan where the elementary schools, they're going to be there full-time, 5 days a week. Is that what Fort Mill is going to do? Because I don't know.
If parents choose.
Yes, right.
But we're going to give Fort Mill, I know, it's going to be a parental choice. I think the difficulty there, though, is what we choose today, depending on what happens, may not be what we really want to do come August the 10th.
Bill Cook sat right where you are sitting on Monday, Dr. Cook from Superintendent of Rock Hill School District. He said those exact same words. They're going to unveil their plan Monday night at the board meeting. But he said they all could go up in smoke based on whatever these rates are for the infections. So.
Well, like you said, July 4th, people were all congregated on beaches everywhere and in huge gatherings. So what is that going to look like in another week or maybe 2 weeks? We don't know.
Yeah. And then, of course, everybody is just waiting probably more anxiously to find out what the decisions are going to be regarding football. Because we do live in a football-crazy state.
Football
And we're City. Football City, City USA, USA right here.
Yeah.
So we'll see what plays out.
But
with
it's
all.
Not just football. It's all of our sports programs. It's our band programs. You know, it's a very unsettling time for parents because a lot of our parents work. So they've got to plan and be prepared. If their children are not going to be in school in a traditional face-to-face classroom Monday through Friday, they've got to have time to be prepared for that. So for our parents and our teachers and faculty, it's a very difficult time to accept the reality that whatever happens today may change by Monday.
And how many dual income families can afford for one of the income earners to have to stay at home to take care of, you know, the child? That's got a big role. School is kind of how we operate in this world of ours.
Well, and it's how most households plan their calendar. They plan their life around that school calendar. You know, they plan vacations, they plan family gatherings, they plan it around their kids' sports and whether they play travel ball. And all of those things have huge question marks now.
All right, so if that wasn't enough for you to be dealing with, you have the ripple effect that this virus has had on the income stream to the state's budget.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. What are the latest numbers or prognostications as to how bad that's going to be?
Yeah, we're waiting on the BEA to update their numbers, but I can tell you we know that the gas tax revenue dropped dramatically because, of course, people were not driving. And you, sales tax had to have dropped as well because people were not shopping. Accommodations tax, people were not eating out or staying in hotel rooms. So we know it's going to be a drastic change to the numbers that were projected early spring to the numbers that we're going to actually deal with come September, and we go back to try to finalize a state budget.
Yeah, we're operating on a continuing resolution right now.
We are. This is the first time since I've been in the legislature that we did not have a budget. So we're actually operating on last year's budget until such time we can go back.
I mean, how could you do a budget?
Yeah,
you don't
we
know
didn't
what your,
know.
You had no idea what your revenue is going to be.
Way too many. And I don't know how much we're going to know in September if this surge in virus continues. I don't know how much we're going to know then, because now we're safe. We have enough PPE. We have enough hospital beds. We're good. But if these numbers keep tripling, you know, then we may spend a lot more dollars than we anticipated.
One of the budget issues that you all have been working pretty significantly on is this whole business about teacher compensation and retention of teachers and the rules and all the testing and all that kind of stuff. Well, part of that solution you came up with was a multiple-year plan of trying to bump up teacher salaries so that we got them up way above the Southeastern average. Well, you did it one year, but I'm not sure. I mean, you really can't think you're going to be able to do it this year.
I think once we get the numbers from BEA, then I think we will try to make every attempt that we can to be as fair as we can be. But I also know that the most pressing need is going to be the safety of our communities.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, we have to have enough hospital beds for those that are sick.
Right.
We have to make the extra protocols to try to keep our prisoners safe, to try to keep our children that are housed in children's homes and facilities and group homes safe. All of those different protocols that we have to look at now cost money.
Yeah. Have you heard at all from teachers who are?
Yes, yes. Teachers are concerned. They want their raise, and I understand they want their raise. But teachers are also wanting to know that it's safe for them to go back in a classroom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was very pleased when Clover announced that their teachers would wear the face shields, the clear face shields, so the students could see their faces. I think that, but those things cost money.
Oh, yeah, they sure do. And I think they are absolutely right that they should be wearing those shields, because people need to be able to connect with you visually in a classroom setting.
Especially young children.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Especially young children. They need to see that expression and see that smile. You know, I find it difficult just going to the grocery store. You might be smiling under the mask, but they can't see the smile. You know, you're not shaking hands anymore. You're not fist bumping anymore. So it's we're missing out on that.
We are missing out. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical words are right there on the cue card. We're all going to say them together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Gotten. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Need extra cash? Relax. Founders has personal loans for all needs. Whether you're knocking off items from your quarantine home renovation list or consolidating existing debt, there's a loan for you. Our flexible loan options offer low rates to give you the confidence you need. Visit Relax, joinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Did you know Comporium's 1 gig ZipStream is up to 100 times faster than the average internet connection? ZipStream is designed to support multiple devices all at once without sacrificing speed. In fact, with ZipStream, you can download an entire HD movie in less than 10 seconds or 1,000 songs in about 30 seconds. And with ZipStream from Comporium, who needs hard drives? Gigabit speed makes cloud storage practical and safer than a backup of a backup of a backup. Go online to Comporium.com to see if your neighborhood is ZipStream ready.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Substation 2 with State Representative Ray Felder. We're talking about a lot of things involving this virus. And before we slip into the next question, I wanted to remind everybody that the Rock Hill City Council adopted a program called United, Rock Hill United, which has got dollars available to help out residents of Rock Hill. We've got the residential utility assistance, the small business utility assistance, the cash service agency assistance, those will be for the nonprofits, and a small business loan program. You can go online to Rock Hill, cityofrockhill.com/unite, and you can find out about all these programs. The money's there. But so far, not enough people are taking advantage of it. So there's grants available there. There's some loans available there. So kudos to Rock Hill. But again, if you're interested, you can go to cityofrockhill.com/unite, or you can just call 817-5112, 817-5112. So there you go. Good idea.
That is a great idea, yeah, for especially our small businesses.
They're all right. One more thing on education. And I talked to Dr. Cook about this the other day. There's just a lot of students across the state of South Carolina has kind of fallen off the grid.
Correct.
Ever since school was shuttered, they've disappeared. Right here in the Rock Hill School District, 550.
Yes.
I don't know what the numbers are for the other districts, but
Total in York County, we're at about 700.
700.
In York County. As of the last report I saw from the State Department, we're about 700 in York County. We have about 300 in Lancaster County, and Chester now is only about 82. Chester's done a very good job in coordinating with their sheriff's department and reaching out to kind of locate where these children are. But these are children that have had zero contact. They did not pick up a breakfast or a lunch. They did not pick up a packet. They did not sign in online. Statewide, the last report was about 16,000 children. Now, that is alarming. I'm very concerned that no matter how we choose to spend this CARES money and $222 million, if we can't find these children, then we can't help them catch up for those 2 months they lost.
Well, and you also run the risk that these 16,000 students statewide could eventually become statistics.
Correct.
And that just creates problems.
Very much so.
Law enforcement and everybody else. So.
Well, and DSS, I will have to give Director Leach kudos. Had a couple of conversations with his staff. They are trying to work diligently with the State Department to try to help offer their assistance in tracking these children down and securing a good contact, whether that be a phone number or a work address for a parent.
Well, is there any thing else you think the state should be doing? If we're sitting here talking about, you got some extra dollars. I mean, who else could you haul in to find these kids?
Yeah, I think whatever we have to do, even if that's the National Guard, we need to find these children.
I agree. All right, on the brighter side of the world, you were part of a very interesting quickly called press conference here the other day to announce that the state of South Carolina has the State Infrastructure Bank.
Correct.
Has awarded a bunch of money that'll help out both Rock Hill and Fort Mill and anybody else traversing through
everyone that puts four tires on I-77 will benefit from this.
This was a long time coming. I think it was almost 6 years. We'll say 4 to 6 years. I can't remember the exact date you started working on this.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
It has been a very long time. The exit 85, the 160 exit, which is the Kingsley-Baxter exit, that traffic is tremendous. And unfortunately, the way it's currently designed, when the exit ramps back up, it backs up down the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden, here you are going 60 miles an hour, and bam, traffic stops.
Right.
So from a safety standpoint, this has been a very, very serious concern from a long time. And, you know, thanks to the county and their efforts and the city of Rock Hill and the State Infrastructure Bank, the county made application, had some delays there, some changes. We're very blessed. We're represented by Representative Gary Simrell, who serves on the State Infrastructure Bank Board. The application, unfortunately, sat there. Changes were made, had to reapply again. But it was announced this week that for exit 82 and 85, York County will receive a little over $74 million from the State Infrastructure Bank that will be used with matching funds as well to complete these projects.
And those matching funds are coming from the county, I believe, through their C-Fund program.
Correct. Harfats.
Harfats, yes. you know, it's interesting when you take a look at $75 million. That's a big chunk of the 360-some million that they awarded statewide. I mean, that's a pretty significant, I mean, that's, what, 20%?
Yes, it is a big chunk.
Which I think speaks volumes for the recognition that this is a rapidly growing county. Used to be a long time ago. When Betty Jo Ray was the mayor of Rock Hill, she used to say, Rock Hill and York County were the redheaded stepchilds of South Carolina. I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, I do not either. And I was here when Betty Jo said that. But it has changed so much because our growth has been here. And also because York County took the responsibility to ourselves and said, let's pass a penny sales tax to help our roads. We set a precedent with that throughout the state. And it has allowed us to have a lot more voice at the table, if you will.
And for those people who are new to our community, which is a bunch of them, this program, which dates back to 1996, passed narrowly, a couple hundred votes first time around. But every 7 years, it gets renewed based on road projects that are clearly identified in the ballot. And it's last time it passed by 85%. It was amazing. And it has resulted, by the time this Pennies for Progress number four is over with, the number that I keep hearing is $1 billion worth of road work in York County. Can you imagine where we would be if we didn't have this?
I cannot. Ah. I mean, it would be horse and buggy days. I mean, the projects that have been completed and the fact that we have leveraged that money to get other monies, both federal dollars and state dollars, to complete big projects. The pennies made that all possible.
You take a look at Highway 160 in Fort Mill. It was a two-lane road years and years ago. It's now, well, I don't know, seven lanes or five lanes or whatever the heck it is. I will never forget going up there for an early morning meeting months and probably years ago. And I sat there and said, my God, this is like being in New York. Look at all these people trying to get on the interstate. Whoa.
Yeah.
And it's not enough road. It's not enough road.
Not enough road.
Same thing down here, 161.
Yes.
Celanese Road, which used to be two lanes. It's now seven lanes. And if we hadn't had these dollars, all these major intersections and major highways we have now, even the interstate, there's a leverage project right there.
Exactly.
Went from two lanes in each direction to four lanes in each direction because of leveraging those pennies money.
And those additional lanes in each direction, they're full. They're busy certain hours of the day, you know? So the growth is definitely here. But economic development depends on infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
Companies do not want their employees sitting in traffic for 30 and 45 minutes. So if we're going to have economic development and we're going to continue this economic engine that we've benefited from the past 10, 15 years, infrastructure has to have an investment.
And I just, you know, had a flash in my brain about Bayless Mack.
Yes, Highway Commissioner.
All those years ago when there wasn't an interstate through York County.
Yeah.
Through his efforts and efforts of others, we got that interstate through York County.
We did.
Made a huge difference.
It made a huge difference in our marketability. Infrastructure is the key. You've got to have it, you know. If you don't have water and sewer and infrastructure, economic development is very difficult.
All right. So you all as representatives down in Columbia and senators, you don't go back until September, is that correct?
That's correct. Or that was the plan. Now, of course, we can be called back at any time by the leadership of both houses. But the plan is for us to go back in September.
And at that time, you will resume the discussions about, are we going to continue with the continuing resolution? Or we are going to try.
We're going to try to pass the state budget. That's once the BEA has some final numbers, once we know what the impact of this virus is truly going. We're hoping to know by then, I should say. I'm beginning to be quite concerned that here we are in July and our numbers continue to go up. But we do plan to go back and bring some resolution to a state budget for these state agencies.
Well, and I guess we could live with a continuing resolution for the rest of the year if you have to.
We can if we have to. Well, I mean, we do because, you know, of course, it's an election year.
Oh, yes.
So we're limited as to how much we can get done and when, because once we have an election, we have a new General Assembly.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. State Representative Ray Felder, thanks for all that you do down there in Columbia. Keep up the good work. Thanks for being with us today. And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Of course, we hang out here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes. The magical way we all do it is real simple. It's on this cue card right here. And we're all going to bellow it out at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. All right, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.